Hi there and welcome to Global Heart Church. I'm Jared Keane, the Senior Pastor, and wherever you are tuning in from around the world today, really, really hope and pray that in our planning of this message that it's going to really inspire you for the great journey that you are on and for the great calling that you have in your own life. So enjoy the message and really pray that it's a blessing to you today.
Amen. If you're taking notes today, you can write this down. The title of our conversation is this. I'd encourage you to take notes. If you want to get into heaven, you have to take notes in church. It's just a joke. The title of our conversation is this, B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Before we get into that, I just want to encourage some friends of mine. One of the things I love about church and ministry and friends of ministry is you make more friends. And even just from being friends with the Keens, I've become friends with Liam and Lisa, if I'm not mistaken. And just felt the Holy Spirit speak to me to encourage both of you. This next season, it's almost as if, don't be surprised when there is more spiritual opposition. I say almost to expect it, but not in a negative way. But just don't let it surprise you, because the enemy is very unhappy with what is taking place in and through your life and your leadership. I know that you guys walk by faith, but to take maybe scarier steps of faith in leading and pastoring and praying, I believe one of the marks of your leadership is just gonna be miracles and healing. It's almost as if there's healing in your hands. And you know it's not your hands, it's the hand of God, but there's healing in your hands. And moments where you pray for people in the moment and you see the miraculous take place. I'd encourage you to pray and fast, maybe more than ever before. We know in scripture there's the moment where the disciples are confused how they couldn't cast a demon out, and Jesus says, well, this one's only by prayer and fasting. And there's almost like there's this stronghold of what the enemy's trying to keep a hold of, and prayer and fasting is gonna be a huge key. Walking by faith, there's a spiritual authority that both of you have that the enemy is very nervous about. And I honor you both of how you lead in Zambia. And I believe it's gonna be a testimony for the rest of Africa. Zambia is in Africa, right? Yeah. Typical American. But don't be surprised when the spiritual opposition comes. It just let it remind you, we're doing exactly what God has called us to do. Amen. You love these guys. They're the best. We're going to read out of Psalm 119. Before we do that, I believe it's important that we understand some context that the writer of Psalm 119 understood. It is this, that our God is God. And he is the only God. Our God, he's perfect, he's holy, he's the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he created you. Amen. Did you know that? Yeah. That God created you. Today, you're not an accident. Yeah. God knows you by name. He created you. He's worthy above everything, and our God, he demands to be first. Yeah. He must be first. Yeah. And yet, our almighty God, he does not force humanity to follow him. He doesn't force us to put him first. And we have this New Testament perspective and understanding that this almighty God, this holy, perfect God, he loves us. And he gave everything so that we could be in relationship with him. How often, as a follower of Jesus, I just become over familiar with the fact that my God saved me and he rescued me and he called me. Anybody thankful that your God saved you and he called you today? The Holy Spirit is within you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is within you. What is astounding about our God is that he will not make you love him as much as he loves you. And he gives us the option to reject him. To reject our creator, our designer, our king. We have the choice today and every day to choose Jesus. Choose life and choose putting God first. And we also have the choice to choose sin, choose death, and choose life without him. And when we choose to follow Jesus, to receive this gift of salvation by grace through faith, the only response that I've found in scripture is, God, I give you everything. God, I give you everything. I am your, all of me is yours. God, you are first. And if there's anything in the way, if there's anything preventing that, I will move it, I will remove it. Nothing but Jesus. This Christian life, friends, make no mistake, is a life of putting God first. And then we see in Psalm 119, the psalmist writes, I believe it's David, gives us a compelling picture of putting God first. Psalm 119 says this, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? It's an important question. By guarding it according to your word. We see a glimpse in living this life of purity following Jesus. It's the word of God. Verse 10, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. That word whole heart is encouraging to me. Because I can follow Jesus wholeheartedly. But it doesn't mean I have to follow him perfectly. But I can follow him wholeheartedly because there are times in my life where I wander from his commandments. You ever wander from the commandments of God? That's just me. And when I wander from the commandments of God, I can wholeheartedly repent and fall to the cross again. And every time my Savior meets me there with his grace, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. We get a glimpse. And in not sinning against God, it is storing up his word in my heart. I wonder, what are we storing in our heart? Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. There's something powerful about speaking and declaring the word of God. Verse 14, in the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts. I wonder, when was the last time we meditated on the word of God? And fix my eyes on your ways. Yeah, good. I wonder, what are our eyes fixed on? This last week, my eyes have been fixed on meat pies and sausage rolls and Solo. I believe Solo will be in heaven. Verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. Church, what are we delighting in? There's been times in my life where I've delighted in the things of God, and there's been times in my life where I delight in sin. Both have very different outcomes. And I love this last statement from the psalmist, says this, I will not forget your word. Why don't we pray this morning? Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you, there you are. Moving and ministering in this place. God, I thank you that every person that is in this service today, you know them by name. You knew they'd be here. God, you smile at the fact that every person is here. Holy Spirit of God, I need you. We need you. We have open hearts and open minds today to hear the truth of your word, that we may be changed and transformed by your truth and grace today. God, I need your power. I need your authority. I need your anointing. I am well aware that I am nothing without you. God, help me to preach your word today. God, I thank you that right now the West Coast Eagles are winning and that they will win this game. And everybody said, amen. Nathan showed me the score during worship. I don't know if you've ever had a bad idea. You ever had a bad idea? I'm a pastor's kid. I've had lots of bad ideas. This last year, I committed to maybe one of the worst ideas of my life. The type of idea that at first sounds fun and exciting until the reality of that idea takes place. Idea was this, it was to run a 50K ultra marathon in the mountains. Yeah. And you may look at me and my physical stature and wonder, why on earth would you do that? You're correct. But it wasn't just by myself, it was with four friends. One of them was David Dvorsky, four other friends who are much more fit than I am, much more physically capable than I am, much stronger than I am. They're the type of people, I don't know if you ever met these types of people, that when they run, they talk and they laugh. You ever met those people? When I run, I'm not talking or laughing, I'm breathing. We start training, about 7 months of training, and it's when we start to train, when the reality of this idea is really hitting home. But on Saturday mornings, we're doing 20K runs, and I'm thinking to myself, what, Josh, why are you doing this? And then we got closer to race day, and I'm starting to get excited again. Like, maybe this will be a good idea. And then it came time for the week of this race. We're getting ready to drive a couple hours away into the mountains, and I got horrifically sick. So sick that I find myself in the hospital and I missed this race. But my four buddies, they drove out to the mountains, they finished, they completed that race, and I'm left in this predicament because it may or may not have been my idea to convince them to do this race in the first place. So I'm thinking to myself, well, what am I going to do? And so I make the decision, the race was in November, I made the decision, well, I'm going to redeem what was lost. I'm going to make it up to these guys, so I'm going to run the 50K myself before the end of the year. I'm gonna get my health back, my strength back. And so on December 30th, I waited till the very end of the year. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, got my nutrition, my electrolytes, and I started out on this 50K run in the state park in Virginia Beach. And church, if I'm being honest, the first 16K went way better than I thought it would. I was doing better than I thought I would do. And so much so, I forgot my headphones, which I thought would be a devastating mistake. But I'm doing so well, I'm enjoying the sounds of nature. I feel like the birds were encouraging me and singing to me. I even named one of them Gerald. Thank you, Gerald. And then I made the loop back and the next 16K, and I'm still doing good. And I'm running past people, and I feel like I'm running past people who are walking, and I feel like I'm inspiring them. That's how good I'm doing. And then I made it to kilometer 32, and things took a devastating turn. You see, I was ready before I started this 50K. I was ready to feel an experience, a satisfaction of completing 50Ks. But what I was not ready for was the pain and suffering from kilometer 32 to kilometer 50. Once I got to 32Ks, now I hate the sounds of nature. Now Gerald and all his friends, they're mocking me as I'm running. Shut your beak, Gerald. Must be nice to have wings and not walk. Now I'm running past people who are walking and I'm not inspiring them. Now they're just a temptation because all I want to do is walk. Never has walking been so enticing in my entire life. And I'm thinking to myself, Josh, why are you doing this? You see, 50Ks, it sounded like a good idea until it started to hurt and until it was really painful. And here lies the great predicament of Christian culture today, is that I love the idea of putting God first until I don't. I love the idea of following Jesus until it costs me, until it hurts me, till it's painful. I would like to suggest we like the idea of God first when it's beneficial for my life. But being a disciple of Jesus, following Jesus is not a 10 steps to success program. It's not always a nice, easy, comfortable, everything is always prosperous life. This life is a God, everything can be taken from me, but if I still have you, that's all I need. This is a God, when you bless me, you are first. God, when I have nothing, you are first. God, when you answer my prayer, you are first. God, when you don't heal me, you're still first. God, when you're speaking, you're first. God, when you're silent and all that I'm left to do is simply trust your word, you're first. God, when you bring breakthrough, you're first. God, when I must suffer for your sake, you're still first. So an important question we must answer today is, how do we keep God first? Every day. How do I keep him first? If you haven't noticed, the moment you surrender your life to Jesus, the enemy is trying to take back ground in your life. Trying to tempt you to take back parts of your life. The world, culture, our sinful nature is in constant battle. The moment Jesus was baptized and affirmed by the Father, what happened next? The Spirit led him to the wilderness, and who shows up first? The devil. To tempt Jesus in his humanity. Friends, this is a part of discipleship. And when we make the decision to put God first, our concerns change and our priorities change. If God is first, I now concern myself with what concerns God. My priorities become heaven's priorities. So what are God's priorities? What are the priorities of heaven? I've got four. We're going to focus on one. The first one is this. The priority of God, in no particular order, is his church.
Right. Amen.
I love the church. I love the church. The church that Jesus died for, the church that Jesus is coming back for, the church that Jesus is building. I love the church and all of its imperfection. It's not perfect because I'm here. That's not perfect because we're here. And to think that God chooses you and me to be his church, the church that is the hope of the world. Can I get an amen? It's the church. I love the church. Second priority of God is the lost. I love lost people. In case you haven't noticed, the world is losing its mind. But I pray to keep a heart that is full of compassion to reach the lost. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus personally, he's not your Lord and your Savior, I've got good news for you, friend. Jesus loves you. He saved you. He's called you. Today, at the end of our conversation, you're going to have an opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus, to repent of your sin, be forgiven, to know what it is to be made whole. No matter who you are, where you come from today, it's no coincidence that you're in God's house. He's called you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Maybe you're in church today and you think you're so far from God, you couldn't get any further away. Friend, God is much closer than you think.
Amen.
And I believe today you can encounter his presence. Third priority of God is this: prayer. We cannot live this Christian life. We cannot keep God first without prayer. I've tried it. It doesn't work. How do we know? How do we know that these are God's priorities? Well, it brings us to the last priority for today. It's the Word of God. How do we know that church is heaven's priority? His Word shows us. The Bible says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. The Bible says, Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot, will not, shall not prevail against it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How do we know that lost people is heaven's priority? His Word shows us. Jesus says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. How do we know prayer is God's priority? Jesus himself shows us, the Son of God shows us in his Word, Luke 5 verse 16, but he would withdraw often to desolate places and pray. Jesus, the Son of God, shows us the need and the dependence to pray. Seek the Father and his will. So how do we keep God first? We don't just attend church. We're planted in church. We throw our lives into church. We become the church. How do we keep God first? We pray for the lost. We share the gospel outside of these four walls. We care for the lost. We have a burden for the 2.1 million people in the city of Perth who are waiting to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? How do we keep God first? We pray. Oh, every day we seek God. Not a day goes by when we don't converse with our Almighty God. If there's anything that we do first, we pray. How do we keep God first? We don't just casually read the Word of God. We live in the Word of God. The Word of God shows me, equips me, directs me, and helps me to keep God first. You see, in this 50K race, there were some essentials that I had to take with me if I was going to finish this race. And it's not just me. It doesn't matter how physically capable you are. If you do not have these essentials, you will not make it to the end of the 50K race. What are these essentials? Well, they're hydration, water, electrolytes, carbs. Oh, I love carbs. It's nutrition, food. And then for me, because I get lost in a parking lot, I need a watch that has a GPS that shows me where I'm going, shows me the pace that I am running. And then there's one more: encouragement. Church, in this Christian life, how often I have tried to run my race without the very thing that sustains me. And there is something available to us that God has given us that sustains us. And it is our spiritual nutrition that feeds us. It feeds our spirit man. It is the hydration to our soul. It is the GPS for our mind, our thoughts, and our actions. It is the encouragement that we need in our dark moments. What is it? It is the holy word of God. Can I get an amen? Word of God is maybe the most vital and practical way as a follower of Jesus to keep him first. Yet how often as Christians we neglect it. I've observed there is an issue within Christian culture today that we are ignorant to the Word of God. I saw this recently. A great pastor in America showed this study to his church. His name's Pastor Terry Parkman. First thing he showed them was this, is that 40% of self-identified Christian teens say they never read the Bible. 40%. We may think, wow, can you believe that? 40% don't ever read the Bible? But church, I would say if they don't see that we read the Word of God, if the next generation doesn't see that we can't live without the Word of God, that we are living in the Word of God, why would they want it? Thought these statistics were interesting. Study was done for people who read the Bible four times a week. Look at this. You read the Bible four times a week, feelings of loneliness drop by 30%. Anger issues drop by 32%. I need to read the Bible more while I'm golfing. Relationship problems drop by 40%. Alcoholism drops by 57%. Feeling spiritually bored drops by 60%. Look at this one. Viewing pornography drops by 61%. Sharing faith jumps 200%. Church, the devil knows this. And he knows the power of the Word of God oftentimes more than we do. Yeah. And he is working hard to keep you from it. And too often, we let him get away with it. I would suggest the devil is okay with you casually reading the verse of the day every now and then. I would suggest the devil is even okay with you just hearing the Word of God on Sundays. But what really makes the devil nervous is when a Christian starts living in the Word of God. John 8 says this, Jesus speaking to his disciples and religious leaders. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, this word abide means live. If you live in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Church, as disciples of Jesus, we live in the word of God. I wonder where do we live today? Where are we living? Not just in the great city of Perth. But spiritually, where are we living? So often I'm living in social media. I'm living in the news. Living in politics. But as a disciple of Jesus, I live in the Word of God. As we close, the band can come on up. There's Isaac. Everybody give Isaac a hand. As we close, I want to answer this question because I believe it's important. Bible, that's the book for me. Why? Why? I have a couple of reasons why, not all of them. But some, and I want to focus on one. Number one is this, the Word of God is the truth. It's important we understand this as followers of Jesus. The Word of God is the truth, and it is the truth that sets me free. My truth doesn't set me free. Your truth doesn't set you free. The truth of media doesn't set you free. The truth of culture doesn't set you free. It is the truth of the Word of God. Second one is this, the Bible shows me who God is, and it shows me his will. It's important that I understand who God really is because it dictates the way that I approach him. Third one is this, the Bible shows me who I am. The Bible shows you who you are. Friend, you are no accident. The Bible shows you, no matter who you are, where you find yourself today, that he loves you, that he's called you. Fourth one is this, the Word of God is alive and it's active. Friend, this book is no dead book. The scripture is God breathed. It is alive and it's active. Number five is this, the Word of God helps me see. Psalm 119:105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We don't have to stumble through life in the darkness. The Word of God helps me see. Number six, the Word of God has power over the enemy. Did you know that? Yeah. That the Word of God has power over the enemy. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, his response to the devil was scripture. Number seven is this, the Word of God makes me wise. I know in my life it makes me wiser than I should be. Good. Number eight, the Word of God humbles me. And it changes me. And it empowers me to live holy. Have you ever been humbled by the Word of God? Number nine is this, I want to focus on before we finish. The Word of God sustains me to endure. John 14, Jesus is speaking. He says this, all this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Church, the Holy Spirit plays a vital role in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit brings revelation while we read the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind the truth of the Word of God when you need it the most. And it will sustain you to endure. See, what I haven't told you yet about this 50K race is that when I made that second loop of that 32K, mentally and physically, I was in such bad shape, I started to entertain the idea of not finishing that race. Started to think to myself, well, is the pain really worth the push? I could come up with a good excuse to my four buddies why I couldn't finish. And when I make my way back to my truck to refill the electrolytes and the carbohydrates, I see another truck next to my truck. And then I see a guy standing next to my truck. And then I recognize that guy. It's my friend, David Dworsky. And he's not just there to say hi. He's in running gear. And he brought grilled cheese. And I don't know if you've ever had grilled cheese after running 32 Ks, but it is a spiritual experience. See, what Davey did without even realizing is he reminded me what I was capable of doing. And before I could rest longer than I needed to, before I could give Davey an excuse why I maybe couldn't keep going, he looked at me and said, "Come on, Josh, it's time to go." And Davey ran the next 16K with me, which I found out were the hardest 16Ks of that 50Ks. And there was times while we were running that Davey would run ahead of me to give me something to follow. There was times where Davey ran alongside me because I needed his encouraging words. And there were times where Davey ran behind me to push me and challenge me when I started to slow down. You see, Davey's words and presence didn't just encourage me. They sustained me to endure. To be willing, Pastor Jared said something in between services, to be willing to remain faithful in the painful process to endure. I think sometimes we forget that this Christian life often is simply to endure. And we have access to the Word of God that will sustain you to endure, that will give you strength in your time of need. It's the grilled cheese that you need. And the Holy Spirit of God will remind you of His Word when you need it the most. And I don't know who this is for today, but I believe the Holy Spirit has brought to my mind a scripture for you today. As Paul says to the Philippian church, "He that began a good work in you will bring it to completion." He that began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Who's he? It's God. God that began a good work in. Some of us forgot that God began a good work in us. He that began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Be encouraged today. Be lifted today. Be reminded by the truth of the Word of God that He is before you calling you, that He is beside you, that He's within you, that He's behind you with goodness and mercy. He that began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Maybe in your life right now it feels like you're at kilometer 32 and you're contemplating, is the pain worth the push? Be encouraged today. God is not done with you yet. Nothing is over until my God says it is over. He that began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Somebody needs to hear this today. God's not done with you. He's not done with you. Friend, He's not done with you. Oh, sense the call of God on your life today, friend. As we close, maybe you're thinking, as I've thought, I don't always have a desire to read the Word of God. You know what I found is, the Bible says that He'll give me the desires of my heart, not the wants of my flesh. But when I pray for a desire to read His Word, He gives it to me. Friend, He'll give it to you. And I don't always wait for it. I'll just start reading Scripture. And I'll pray, "God, give me a desire and a hunger to read Your Word." Maybe the most practical, powerful thing we can do this week is the first thing that we do when we wake up. Just do it this week. Just 7 days. The first thing we do is read God's Word. If you're like me, when I wake up, sometimes my thoughts go straight to social media, straight to breakfast. But I wonder this week, church, the first thing we do, maybe for some of us it's just the verse of the day, but it's the first thing we do.
Thank you so much for joining us online today. Really great to have you with us, and special thanks to those also who give online. Your generosity is making the way for others to hear the message of Jesus both here in Australia and around the world. If you enjoyed today's message, I'd love to encourage you to share this message with a friend, a workmate, a family member, and let's believe together that it will powerfully impact their life for good in Jesus' name. If you're unable to be with us at one of our church locations, both here in Australia and around the world, please join us online every Sunday for Global Heart at Home on YouTube. God bless and have a great week.